So what's the deal with frost on the weekends?
Yeah, just so
it doesn't disappear. Like,
yeah, the Bills game will stop. It's called TiVo, buddy.
Oh, everybody, he doesn't even have a smartphone. He has a flip phone.
He's on to something then. I think he's fucking on to something. Because how many times are you just like, God, just put this away.
And how about no cell service out here? It's kind of nice for the golf round.
I thought it was great. Yeah.
It's great.
Who knows? I mean, everybody knew that I was gone from here, but or from the canyon. It was just the wife at one point called me, and that I got like a call, and then she, as I rooted back around to the clubhouse, it was when you get that one little spot there, it does pick up. It was kind of like, oh, don't worry about the call. And it was like, yeah, that was 2 hours. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Perfect.
Yeah, sorry. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode number 127 or 8. I forget. I don't know. I'll edit that in there. 127 or episode 128. I don't know. I run out of these numbers. I took this thing on a road trip today. Finally took a day off. I swear to God, I'm going to take my Thursdays before my weekends. This is the first one. We'll see how many of that lasts. Probably not many, but I took the trip to where all the action's happening with the Javelinas. We're up at Seven Canyons, joined by Andy Huber, the superintendent, and Emily Casey, the assistant superintendent, who got 3 bazillion views and called Hitler on Twitter over fucking Javelina. Oh, yeah, Andy, sorry, was not supposed to say fuck, right?
You're good.
Okay.
This is your show.
I know, but Emily can't say fuck. But hey, welcome to the show, guys. Thanks for letting me come up here. I played 9 holes. My mind was a little bit blown. I like how there's, you guys got the little torn up spot on like 8 green before you go to 2. Is that just a kind of like, hey, everybody, get ready. This is what you're going to see.
Yeah,
out on the golf course.
Get ready. We never know where it's going to hit.
I mean, it's every night. We walk in the morning and you just don't know what you're going to see. So they get to it when they get to it. And if they don't, we'll do it tomorrow.
It was unreal. I mean, I've seen everything on, you know, you're doing the Twitter thing and the Instagram kind of, you kept it going for a little bit. And then I can see it's just so frustrating that you could have a video every night of the same exact thing. And how long is this going on for? And how long you guys think it's going to last before the ARs come out?
I mean, I started posting about it, late August? And no one really said anything about it. You know, like a few superintendents had an idea or two, and we've tried just about everything. And I mean, that one video just like blew up out of nowhere. I mean, no one really cared until that video. But I don't know, Andy, how long do you think we have to deal with this?
I mean, when the temperatures really drop, we are hopeful that it drives the earthworms down deeper. And so it should get better. And historically, our GM's been here about 20 years. He said he's seen it, you know, half dozen times, but this is the worst. So he says we get first kind of killing frost or hard frost, and it should start to get better at that point.
Okay. Andy, you've been here. I've known you for probably 15 years, getting close to that. When I was just a wee lad working for Fillet Highlands, and you were climbing the ranks of the board of Cactus and Pine. I think I came on the board your last year being president. I met you when you were at Wickenburg Ranch. Then you went to Pine Canyon. How long have you been here?
About a year and a half, a little bit more than that.
So this is really your first summer, fall, getting in with these Javelina?
Well, we had heard about Javelina here before I started working here, right? And it was substantial. It's a disease kind of mecca in the summer. Our fairways turned to POA, so
yep.
Over time, so I would hear about that. I would hear about Javelina going, ooh, boy, that place is tough. It's not what I remembered back in 03 or 04 when I was here last. So first things first, right? Get the insecticide down, pick the dates, late April, late August, hit the 2A months, a little bit behind you guys in the desert. You guys are probably toward the beginning of those 2 months.
The ground is so hard in the desert, the Javelina don't even like to fuck.
Yeah, and there are no earthworms. Yeah, so no problem. So yeah, we put those 2 apps down last year, right when I started, and then late August, and no problem. Huh. Next problem, moving along, got that one whipped, and then this year.
They were here a little bit last year. I have a video of the first time I'd ever seen the damage, and I was like, what is this? And Chapo came over, and he was like, oh, just green side up and move on. And
yeah,
I was
it might have been 200 square feet.
And that was it. That was the only thing I'd ever seen. And then it started out this year pretty small, I think. I mean, it was just like little patches on 15 and 16, and then just spiraled.
Yeah, they nibbled around, and they're back, you know, and we would fix it, right? Started out with Lalo, our other assistant. He would fix it. Then Emily would fix.
There was one day Lalo was fixing it, and there's two or three javelina like 10 feet away from him, just tearing it right back up right behind him.
Behind him. He didn't even know they were there.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Then he turned around. Oh, my gosh, you guys.
Yeah, I got here and wheeled up onto the driving range and walked out onto the tee to hit a couple balls, and I'm like, oh, there's the action. Yep, they're digging here, too. You know, and I was like, driving in, you could see behind, what is it, 9, you know, green there. And it was like, holy shit, that was a little much that I could see him. Then Emily came and met me out on the tee. And I was like, so I came here to see your problem. And she points out, she goes, and there they are. And there had to have been 20 of them out there.
Yeah.
And you think you have 5 or so families?
We think we have 4 to 5. But you get rid of one, and Game and Fish warns us, the next one will be right in. So they actually compete among themselves for the best place to live.
Yeah, so something else will infiltrate. Take over its habitat. Once we take the herd out, another herd will move its way in. So it's just kind of going to be a cycle.
And they're also kind of like, I guess, like the kind, well, they fuck like pigs, right? They're not pigs. They're peccary. Is that what they call them?
I think so.
Yeah.
A little different
animal, but to everyone else, it looks like a wild hog, you know, if you've never seen it. But gnarly tusks on it. They get nasty. I've seen the remnants of what they've done to a dog. They corralled one at my first ever experience with them was at Desert Highlands. They just corralled a woman that would walk every morning with a good size Weimaraner. And they just kind of corralled her out in the fairway. And I heard her screaming and yelling. And I just took off with the cart, scooped her and the dog. And then I was like, what are those things?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, the javelinas, you know, they get the tusks. They sharpen themselves, the tusks, every time they open and close their mouth. They're sharp, resharpening. So they're nasty little fuckers, but good eating from what I hear.
I mean, if we could train them, we could have, like, sod cutters out there. They'd roll the sod right up.
Yeah.
But they do taste good.
I've probably had it about 6 or 7 times. It's been good once.
Really?
Really? Yeah. I've had it twice.
And it's all basically on, just like most anything, it's their diet. What they're eating will change that.
Well, you know, we've hunted javelina a couple times. Don't get into that too much. Prefer elk
and deer.
This
is going to be my first ever time hunting, and we have tags.
For 6B,
and
for this unit.
And I believe 6B.
Well, tell your friends.
It'll be my first time, too.
It's me, Casey Ruddick, Mike McDonald, Ryan Rolfe. And I think that's it, that all 4 of us are on the same tag. Yeah.
I think a bunch of the guys from Rolling Hills, I think there's 6 or 7 of them that all got tags for this unit too. So like Scott Heber, Matt McNeil.
Great. That's archery?
Yeah, it's all archery.
All
yeah, you guys give us the dates. We'll take you right to the...
I mean, it's basically January 1st. It opens, right?
Yeah, I think January and
so
February.
So get out the heating pads, lay them down around then so those fuckers come back out.
Oh, I'll take you right to them like we did last year. We had a couple hunters come out last year, and we just drove them right up the fairway, and we were like, that's where they'll be in those woods right there. Good luck.
And they had both tags filled in how many minutes?
I mean, less than 30.
Yeah.
And they've been out for like 9 days.
So back to, they compete for an area as herds. But as far as like them getting their herd up to numbers, if one goes down, they go right at it to replace that one and then spit out a couple.
Probably.
Like a coyote.
Yeah.
Like coyotes, you know, coyotes are yelling and screaming back to themselves all the time, counting numbers of their pack. And if mama hears that one of them's no longer around, she immediately goes into heat. You'll never get rid of the coyote population.
Yeah.
Huh. And that's why, because then she loses one. But if she calls out and 3 or 4 are missing, like someone whacked it, she'll just keep pumping them. It's almost as if their body knows to give out 5 or 6 pumps to replace them. So gross. That's why there is no, you can shoot, and isn't it true that you can shoot or kill any coyotes as long as it's outside of your house? Like, there is no tag season. It's just
right. You have a hunting license, and it's a predator. Like fishing. You're good. So that's the challenge, right? I mean, these are considered technically big game species in Arizona, so they're treated just like a deer tag or a deer hunt, just like an elk.
You're big into the hunting game. Do you ever see that happening here, changing? Like, do you ever see like a big enough push now that the state is growing so much and now they're becoming, you know, somewhat of a, they're a pest, you know, for you guys here at the golf course, they're a pest, but in the neighborhoods, they'll wipe out a dog. They'll wipe out a lot of shit.
We were talking about this yesterday and a couple times, but I think that based on the number of video views that, you know, have hit on this with what we're dealing with here, that Game and Fish has, they've got some skin in the game here. They're well aware that a lot of people are watching. I think deep down inside that, you know, when we go out and hunt, we glass the desert, hunt the desert. We don't see hardly any javelina.
Right.
We go into Prescott. We go into Sedona, go into town. They're everywhere.
Yep.
Knocking over trash. They know the trash day.
Yeah.
They literally know what day on what neighborhood. So they knock over trash cans. They circle up around dogs. They're very aggressive toward dogs. Mm-hmm. We had one member, you know, it was pretty close to him too, right on his front patio. So it's getting to the point where, you know, we need to get these numbers down, and hopefully we can do that without anybody getting hurt. But we're getting close.
I was on the way to work last week, Monday or Tuesday, and there was one rooting around with a homeless people panhandle underneath the 101 in Frank Lloyd Wright.
What?
Yeah. Jeez. So that's what it's going to take. Why don't we take this herd? So you got a corral.
Bring them down there.
We're going to bring them down to the zone down in South Phoenix, unleash them. Then they'll become a people problem, and then all of a sudden they're going to have to let us do whatever we want with them.
I mean,
we need
them
more
fish.
Into... Because right now, I'd imagine... Right now, it's causing a problem on a golf course where those rich folks are. Tough shit for them, mm-hmm. right? But if enough of the rich folk places get hit by them, then money starts coming in somehow, some way to buy in to get rid of them,
yeah.
right? Once somebody can figure out how to make money off of it, this protection will immediately go away. It's just like, that's where my tinfoil hat gets strapped on real tight. And mm-hmm. I told you this could go 1,000 different directions. yeah. Well, here's one of the ways. You can somehow get money involved, find a way that somebody is going to start scraping it underneath the table and putting it in their pocket. And all of a sudden we'll be free to do certain things, but maybe that's what it is.
Yeah,
it's going to be driven by... Or someone's really got to get hurt. Unfortunately, we never take measures.
Multiple people have to get hurt by the same one. I asked the Game and Fish guy, I was like, so what if one bit me? And he was like, well, they'd also have to bite Andy and you.
The
and
same
you'd have
animal.
To prove it's the same one. And it wasn't multiple different ones that bit all three of us. It'd have to be the exact same javelina. Bites me, bites you, bites Andy. And we can prove it. But they all look the same. How am I going to prove that?
They're not collared or tagged or anything, but...
Just spray while it's biting you, spray paint its ass.
You're right.
You know, you got a paint gun. Yeah, you got a paint gun. Just hopefully you can get it.
So, I mean, they did approve the use of non-lethal rubber rounds, 12-gauge shotgun. And we were within, I'm going to say, a day of getting started on that. Everyone wanted to jump in, right? How satisfying would that be? How good would that feel? The owners, the members,
they
every
wanted us
employee.
To put like gun racks on the carts. Like that's where everyone was at. Like,
so I mean, it's been approved and it can be somewhat effective. But once the video kind of caught flames, we're like, you know, based on our reputation, let's back off a little bit.
Yeah.
We're gonna leave that to Game and Fish in uniformed, you know,
right.
situations where
probably the smart move.
Because
I think when we were talking about it on the last podcast, I said something to Dan. And he's like, yeah, everything's great until one goes running out to the wrong person's yard that's got an arrow in its side.
Yeah.
Now it's a whole nother problem.
Right.
You know.
And that happened in our neighborhood when we lived in Prescott. I mean, I saw one running down the street, bloody and arrows sticking out of it. And, oh, boy, when they track that down, that's, you know, they're overpopulated. They make a mess. They trash everyone's gardens, whatever. We couldn't get out of our... my wife couldn't get out of her car a couple times because they'd be between the front door and the vehicle.
Whoa.
So I downplayed it, but still, you know, she didn't like it. So,
I mean, I've gotten pretty close to them and they're not afraid of us. That's what I think is the scariest part, especially for the golfers. Like, I'll run at them and they just stand there and bark at me.
Yeah.
Or they'll run at you from the brush. And I mean, you can throw a rock at them. They run towards the rock. You can throw a rock pretty hard and they don't care.
Yeah.
I've hit one right in the face and it just barked at me and stood there.
Yeah. I wonder what the rubber bullets would do.
It's the Game and Fish kind of. I met with him and I showed him what we had and I took him around the course and he was like, you know, you got a pretty big problem here. And I was like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's why I called you.
And he was like, well, the rubber bullets at this point, if you had a small herd, just like the herd we saw back on the driving range, if that was it, then the rubber bullets would be fine. But he was like, at this point, it's going to make you feel better and it's not going to do a thing. It's like, they'll just kind of laugh at you.
Yeah.
So you're going to corral them. We'll put a little feeder or a little gumball machine filled with nuts and everybody can... You know, put the 25 cents in and then walk over and feed them. Is that
yeah,
you know,
it's the petting zoo of Seven Canyons.
That's, you know, that's what it looked like what you were making over there. It'll be
interesting.
That's
like to really high tech structure out there.
So, yeah.
Video to come. Don't worry.
So, you guys are obviously we're laughing about it kind of somewhat now because it's at this stage of there's no end to this. Next year, what are we doing? We're going to put out our sprays for the grubs.
Right.
Are we going to put out anything for the earthworms?
Yeah, we've played around a little bit with that, you know, kind of an older chemistry recently, and it hasn't seemed to do anything at all. So we are confident, though. We have not found any white grubs, no Schaefer grubs.
Yep.
We've checked where they've dug up. We've checked on the leading edge where they'll probably be the next night. Nada. But we find earthworms everywhere. Mm-hmm. Chewed in half, full.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, we're going to get the, you know, make sure the insecticide program is there. But we are seeing that they do not mess with sand. So they don't touch greens if they're built USGA sand. We're halfway through a tee renovation, changing turf types. That's the next thing we're looking at. But there's a lot of sand there. So they will plow right up to the edge of a brand new tee top and stop. Right there.
So we're going to get the Blekkivator machine to start blecking fairways and top dressing the shit out of these every year.
If we had Desert Highlands fairways, they would not be plowing these up because those are sand, right?
Yeah, so, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, but they do not mess with straight perennial ryegrass sod. We've done about 40 catch basins, maybe now 45. They have not touched one piece of sod, and that's pure rye. So is it because there's a little bit of pea gravel and sand underneath, or is it because earthworms don't like the sand, or do the javelina not like ryegrass? So,
because we used to see that with rabbits on the putting green when Highlands had bent grass putting greens. You know, we'd overseed the surround in ryegrass, or it would be Bermuda in the summertime, but they would get right onto the edge and destroy the edges of the greens where they were getting onto them. Just, and you would think that, I mean... It's a better quality turf, right? This is just in, so it's got to taste like better lettuce to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's other shit's fucking iceberg, and now we're dealing with, you know, some romaine stuff.
Yeah.
So you wonder if it's got sweeter, better sugars or something in it.
Right.
But my theory is they don't like the bent grass either. And I've like kind of asked around to some different people to see like what their turf type is that the javelina are tearing up. And no one has said bent grass, and they've really stayed away from even the like spillover areas from years ago where there's bent grass and approaches. They don't really touch that either, but they love the POA.
Yeah, they hammer the POA, they hammer the Kentucky Blue, but those are usually in a soil-based area. So one of the two, we're trying to track these critters down. We should be smarter than them, but right now they're kicking our butts.
God. That's probably got to be the most frustrating, you know, when you wheel in, because you guys are coming in the same way the members are every morning, and you're just looking at the back of nine, so you just already know what the day is. And how long has that been like that, in like the front of, what is it, number one?
It was around, probably within the week before the video was when they really started hammering number nine, so mid-October, I think.
Yeah.
And then... We just kind of started leaving the rough because you fix it and you can only fix it so many times before you're putting grass on top of grass and it's dying anyway. So,
all right. For the folks that somewhat don't know what we're even talking about, it's literally running a fucking rototiller over your brand new lawn. You know, you take your backyard, you look at it. Oh, look at that. That looks sweet. Take the baddest ass rototiller. Not the little thing that's doing the edges of your garden and taking out weeds. I'm talking and just buzz across it and then leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a uniform fashion either. So it's 10 feet here, 20 foot diameter there, 3 foot here. You know, just spotting their way around. It's fucking mind-blowing.
Yeah, we were
It was mind-blowing to me.
Yeah. So I would say as of last week, there might have been 3 holes that were sacred. Still kind of not hit by those guys, and they got us this week. And there's not much on number one, but you played, right?
Yeah.
You look down number one, and, you know, right in front of the tees, it's hammered.
Yeah.
But at the start of the fairway, it's like, oh, wow, that is beautiful. That looks great. Well, they hit us in about a 5 or 10 foot radius two nights ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yesterday morning, I went down the hole, radioed Andy, and I was like, well, the last one got hit. Like, we tried.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Same thing with number five. That's like probably the prettiest hole in the entire golf course. It never has any problems. It's just like the perfect hole. And they'd left it alone up until Monday, Saturday, somewhere in there, somewhere over the last weekend. Got the left side of that. And it's little tiny pieces. You can't just put them back together. Yeah. It takes forever.
Oh, no. That's what I mean is like, you know, well, it's kind of why I was explaining it. It's like just shred this stuff.
Well, some of it's
I met
really
one of your
big.
Crew members, which I started out talking about him, and he loved it, which was like wild to me, right? I was like, hey, man, how's it going? You know. I said, I see you're at this. And I was kind of on, what's the hole with the bathroom? What is
you're
that?
You're on six.
Six. And I said, is this last night? You know, and he says, yep, this is pretty much last night. I said, all right, so this isn't something that you've, because you're not catching up on it. It's so much that I don't care how many guys you bring out here on the crew, you're just not going to catch up on what's out there. So if they ever give up on a night or a week, you might maybe catch up to what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
So I said to him, I said, man, it's got to be awfully frustrating. And he's like, no, man, I love this. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, I'm into jigsaw puzzles. So I really like this. And I went to shake his hand. He's got his gloves on. He would only fist bump me because of the javelina piss. And I was like, well, thanks. I said, I guess I'll stay clean on the only
There's
day.
Snacks at the bathroom yeah. there. You want to keep your hands clean.
I was like, I'll keep my hands clean. I was like, it's my day off, so I guess I'll keep them clean, right?
Yeah.
He did come in and thank us for the javelina damage before he went out as well.
Perfect employee.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
My favorite.
Yeah. It was just so funny listening to him. And then when I mentioned to you guys that that's what I ran into, you both laughed.
Yeah.
At like, okay.
That is the exact employee we hoped you would run into out there.
Oh, that's the last one I hoped you run into. I was kind of hoping the other
We want
one.
Stories.
I was hoping for the one that crashed his car into a member's cart on his first day.
When you play the back nine, if you get out there in time, we've got another employee that just one little thing goes sideways, you might see his temper.
Oh, nice.
He likes to scream your favorite word really loudly in the middle of the golf course.
Oh, nice.
On his first day here, hey, have a good day. See you tomorrow. I walk back in the break room and I hear a boom. He backed his Jeep into a member's cart running down the street. Luckily, no members went flying out of the cart.
I mean, he almost did.
But it was... It was Whoa. Intense. Yeah. And it was the longest F-bomb I've heard
sat
in
the
a long
car,
time.
Held the steering wheel and screamed.
First day.
Day one.
Wow. And he's still here?
He made
I don't
it.
Know
he's
how
still
he's
here.
Still here. He also told Andy to eat a dick one day. So,
like I said, I've calmed down. I've got thick skin and I'm a very patient man
and
these days.
See, if I heard that, I would just turn to him and be like, that's all you got?
Yeah.
Like, that's seriously what you came up with? Like,
I mean, he constantly tells the people on the crew that he could do our jobs better than us. So,
well,
give me a couple guys. So I gave him a couple guys to debunkers one day. It took 8 hours to debunkers. And I was like, that's why you don't get a couple guys.
Yeah. Everybody thinks they can do our job, which is totally fine. I mean,
please,
God, if you have that ambition to have my job, here's the radio. Here's everything about it, and have at it.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea what it really entails. like you guys did not get into this to deal with javelina.
They certainly don't teach you that in turf school.
No. No, there's so many funny things that we all have jokes on that they don't teach you. You know, the dealing with the Buffalo Bills fan employee that you have. That was the other thing. That was part of the other. As soon as he opened his mouth, I just was like, oh, my God. The hat from probably all missed field goals. He's probably still is wearing that hat. And then when I noticed that his glasses strap that were holding his glasses on his head was a Buffalo Bills
That's
strap.
New.
Oh, is it?
That's new as of like this week. I've never seen that.
Well, he stepped
today.
Up his javelina repair game there.
Yeah, his glasses will fall off.
So yeah, you got to keep the...
You know, they and have their knee pads and everything. Everyone's ready.
And me being the Pats fan on the way out the door of leaving him, I just had to start running it about how his team's a fraud.
Yeah.
I said, Patriots are the worst team in the league and
That's
still
okay.
beat them.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the Patriots are the worst team in the league, but I just had to give it to him.
Your team plays my team this weekend, I think, in London.
Oh,
Colts.
Boy. Yeah. That'll
be that rivalry used to be great.
Yeah, I know. What I mean, when the NFL put that together, they were like, yeah, we'll put the Pats and the Colts. We'll kind of get that thing rejuvenated. And it was like, and we'll bring it to London. I was like, okay. Good job.
They didn't want to take away good market time here in the U.S.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just give them the little.
So, things. Yeah, when we, at this point, we fix all the shortcut turf from the previous night's damage. So, approaches and fairways. They don't hit the tees. I mean, there's one that we haven't renovated.
2 and 11.
Yeah, so if they're more of a soil-based tee, they have hit a couple, but any of the renovated tees, they have not touched.
They
so.
Touched one time, and I almost lost my mind because that's my current project is all of the tees.
Yeah.
And they haven't really touched it since. They go all around it. I mean, if you drive up to 16 tees, you'll see like the entire surround of the tee is just torn apart. But the tee looks great.
Mm-hmm. So we fix that every morning, or day. Sometimes second jobs. But the day after it happens, the previous night, we have let them just have the rough. Like, we have no chance of fixing that at this point. We are just waiting till we get cold, waiting till we can trap a couple of these herds and get them out of here. So Game and Fish, along with approving use of non-lethal rubber rounds, they did agree to relocating if we can corral trap. So Game and Fish will be here later today. We'll see what he thinks of our corral trap design. This is a 51-year veteran for Game and Fish. He's done it. This guy crawls in drain pipes to grab skunks. He's done it on this property before.
Yeah, he was under a house the other day getting javelina out from someone's crawl space.
He goes in head first under a back raised deck at some Sedona residence and goes after javelina.
What the fuck are you two doing on this show? We need this guy.
Yeah.
He's not very fun, though, because he's very by the book. He, like, reads the Bible to you, but, like, the Game and Fish Bible.
I'd have a field day with him.
Yeah. But he is... fearless.
Oh, yeah, he's a turtle man. If you've ever seen that show on Discovery, he is like Sedona Turtle Man, but javelina man.
And he's been up in this area, Game and Fish, for 40-something years?
Yep, he's assigned to Unit 6B, and he's probably on site right now. So
you looked around, under your desk?
Yeah.
You looked around like,
hey, Lee!
Come out here.
But yeah, so, I mean, they've been a good partner, but it is hard to kind of get things going. It takes time.
Yeah.
And they have to do their job. They're restricted in a lot of ways. I think, though, there could be enough pressure from certain angles where what I'd like to see is javelina reclassified in a completely – get them out of the big game species.
Correct, yeah.
And if you have a certain population or an area that's too high, issue the number of over-the-counter tags. Just pay a fee. Go get them.
Yep.
Just, like, have a call.
Yeah, I mean – love to get there. I mean, I don't know if they call them town halls, but they do have public input opportunities throughout the year. And I bet you enough hunters would say, I waste my time going out in the forest or the desert.
Yep.
I see them at my house. Can we switch things up?
Yeah, right.
You know, something like that. But it's hunters. It's everything else we talked about.
Yeah, you need everybody on. In there yelling at the same meeting.
Yeah.
You know, because if it's on a Tuesday and half of you can't make Tuesdays, it's useless.
Right.
We would have to get a whole bill changed, though. So, I mean, we'd have to, like, find a lobbyist to lobby for it to get it thrown onto a bill somewhere. I mean, I don't know if we'd be able to just, like, get a town hall together and Say, oh, we hate javelina. Let us kill him.
I'll bring the bell like the old days, the town crier, and I'll just ring it, and get their attention. That's a long way away.
Right.
So I guess with that part of that, just that dream's over of ever changing that. At least in our day, maybe Emily will deal with it. I mean, you're 10 years younger, 20 years younger than us. You might be dealing with this part of it, but me and Andy will be long gone.
Yeah.
If I'm still dealing with javelina in 20 years, I messed up.
Like Dan said, get out of here, go to the valley. There's plenty of assistants and positions open in the valley.
It's too hot in the valley, and I got to oversee.
Yeah, fuck. That's what I said. I was like, nope, you stay right where you are. You do not want to deal with smashing your head off the wall.
No.
Every fucking September and October.
Right.
That's the thing we call overseed. And then transition is June. And again, you're smashing your head off the wall, you know, wondering why we're doing this over and over and over again. So it's the same thing. You know, you just pick an area, you know, you go even further up north and you're dealing with snow and ice and winter kill. Yeah, to a point. You know,
it's fun the first snow.
Yeah.
Right. It's fun to whiz a snowball at somebody and then it comes again and it keeps coming. And then it's like, okay, it's April. This shit should be gone.
Yeah. I think Lee was pretty over plowing snow last year. What did they get, like 180 inches in flood?
It was all record stuff up there. So yeah, you live through that and you're like, okay, probably won't have to deal with that again, that level of it until... All right, maybe we have to do it 2 years in a row. Shit, you know?
I mean, you know, if we can get some of these javelina trapped and out of here, we're working on some bids for finishing the perimeter fence. That's not going to keep all of them out.
Right.
But the Game and Fish did say if we can get if we can protect our property, it's kind of like cattle and ranching.
Yep.
It is our responsibility to fence out cattle. It's not the rancher's responsibility to keep cattle from getting on someone else's property, believe it or not.
Right, yeah. Hmm.
So it's the same thing. We have to protect our property. Then if they get in, Game and Fish is more willing to help keep relocating them out.
Okay, so you got to put up the fence, or you got to take charge of, like, this is our land and everybody's got to stay off of it.
And this is an easy fence compared to what we designed and flag to keep elk out.
Right.
That was tall, stronger, had to look right. No one wanted an 8-foot fence behind their property, you know.
Right.
This should be much easier. So we're going to try to push on that.
So you basically got to do that same fence that you did with the corralling?
Oh, God, no. That's like low tech compared to what we actually need.
Yeah, we're going to do, we're going to match. I don't know if you saw it, but it's probably a 4-foot, just an ag fence. It graduates down to smaller panel opening size at the bottom. And then you just got to protect all the, where they try to go under. So if you can just counter-sink it in the ground a little bit, you know, we just use rebar, just drive it down where they try to put pressure under the fence. But we're going to do kind of a premium fence too, where it's black.
Okay.
So, you know, in certain areas, it needs to be kind of unnoticed, unseen. But
yeah, I mean, you guys do, if anybody wants to Google this place, part of the issue that I'm sure you're having is everyone's like, oh, and we didn't even notice the damage out there because the backdrop is unbelievable here. It's absolutely unbelievable. It is the reason why people come to Sedona, yet it's still somewhat secluded. Mm-hmm. You know, so I've mountain biked out here and it's like, okay, now I get Sedona. Driving up here today, I can't believe how many fucking people are up here.
Oh my God.
It's that strip of 89. I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
If you leave here between, well, around 4, good luck.
Yeah.
Like our drive home's already, it should only be 50 minutes, but like, what's the longest it's taken you? It took us 2 hours one day last
summer. I'm halfway to the reservation out there on the other side of Flag.
But just to Flag, it's taken like 2 hours.
Yeah, because you got to take it through to the rotary and then up through.
What is a rotary?
It's what you weirdos call roundabouts.
Who calls it a rotary?
His state came up with those things.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you can have them back.
Thanks,
they are
Foyle.
A pain.
Superior mind. I already said this. Superior minds come from that place.
It's a rotary. Right?
It's a rotary, yeah. So anyways, that's where you guys, you got to get through that. And I bet that's a 25 minutes just from here, 30 minutes from here on its on a good day.
I remember
it was 10 o'clock when I came through and it was packed.
Yeah, last year around Thanksgiving week. So we head down Dry Creek Road, turn east, go on 89A toward Uptown Sedona. It was backed up almost to there. And when you make that turn, you're like, oh, that's see it dark.
You know, you
there's no
there.
Way.
And no one knows how to drive. They're all from the valley.
They're all actually,
they're all
most of them, that's the problem. It's from all over the world.
Nevada, yeah. Utah,
I mean, they
California.
All come in here to get their little whatever sparkly trinkets down, you know, tourist row. Whatever
get
that
your
is.
Crystals, go see the vortex, get all the feelings. Yeah, we hear it all the time. We have a vortex on property, and if you go stand on 14 T's, you can hear all about it from the Jeep tours that go up there, and they tell you about how energy is.
Me and my wife got the helicopter tour and the Jeep tour gifted to us for our wedding, and it was like, oh, sweet. And at this point, I thought the Jeep tour was going to take us all through, you know, the real desert. We could have done this in a Nissan Sentra, okay, this Jeep tour, but we had the biggest hippie as our guide. The helicopter thing was awesome. That was the first time in a helicopter. I thought that was awesome. We hopped into the Jeep and we start driving. We're on the roads. I'm like, oh, we're just taking the road until we get to the desert. No, we stayed on the road in the entire time. And he brought us up to that T-box or just above the T-box. And I'm like, I have this same photo with one of my friends actually playing the golf course.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's so funny. But yeah, such a hippie.
Yeah,
oh,
one of those
God.
Guys is coming for me right now. I don't know which tour he drives for, but he got into it with every superintendent and assistant on Twitter, and he was like, I'm watching Seven Canyons. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, this is a private gated community, but we, you know, that's called Rachel's Knoll up there.
Yeah.
And that is deeded, you know, public, you know, it goes back to the original owners of the property. Yeah. But yeah, Pink Jeep Tours and you know, similar, they have to be let, but they need to go straight there and come straight back out. But we've seen and heard some wild stuff up there.
Yeah, when we did the Jeep tour, it was like, oh, we're going to, we're on the ride down here. And I'm like, oh, we're going to Seven Canyons, you know, and we right through the gate. And I was like, this is odd. And then wheeled right up there. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's interesting that that's all gifted to the Jeep tours.
Right.
Well, if you drive your car up, you can say, like, I just want to go to Rachel's Knoll, but they can say no. They don't have to let you through.
But if you've got the permanent Jeep.
Yeah, if you got the pink Jeep, you're good.
You're good to go.
I thought a lady was going to jump off the, I call it like a diving board rock up there last year. I think I was changing cups or something.
What?
You haven't heard this?
No.
Yeah, so I'm down on, it was old 15, we just flipped the 9, so now it's.
Which I do like the switch.
Makes a little
You're
more sense.
Yeah, it makes totally.
When we
really?
Get, when we get the turn house built right there at the new short game area, it'll bring it all together. So,
no, I thought it, just the way it starts.
Oh.
I think the whole
you
like,
didn't even know how to get there.
No,
it's so hard to get to.
I didn't know how because I was going to go to what is now 11. You know, that used to be number one, so I knew how to get there. But I knew that it was switched, so that's why I asked you, hey, bring me to number one. If you would have been like, hey, it's old 10 or whatever it is.
I didn't know you would have known that or I would have said that.
So I think this place has been rerouted in its history like 5 times. So this should be the final time, but when Phil Smith came up last year.
Perfect person to ask. What do you think about starting on a par 3? Hole 1 as a par 3?
I don't think it's that bad. I like finishing par threes. I think those are interesting when you get to play a finishing hole par three. But starting on it, no. See, I look at it also differently is how you can move people through. So you know that you're going to have this weight there now at the first hole. You'd rather it there than on number two. Ours, we get such a log jam at my course because – Number one has the only water. So they're scared of that right off the bat. So you got ball in the drink. Now you got to re-tee. So I, for one, for the cart traffic, I said, hey, we're pulling the carts off of number one because there's only one way in, one way out. So the whole thing would just, and it's like a little valley. So it would get beat. I said, the other thing it's going to do is it's going to free up the time to go play a very hard uphill par three because it used to just log jam right there at number two. And then number three is a 90-degree dog leg that you can get to the green if you want, but you can't see if there's people there. So then there's more of a weight there. So this whole thing kind of stretched out. That's, I think you start there to move people along if it's going to be a par three rather than have it on number two and log jam them right up.
I would
think of it that way more than just playing it. You know, you'd have to ask someone that plays in it, just plays golf and doesn't deal with the other side of it to really probably get the right answer. Peter. Ask Stump the Peter.
Yeah,
Stump the Peter will chime in for sure.
Oh, on yeah, he can't thing. Resist that.
No, especially when I call
he
him.
He can't
out.
Resist anything.
No, he can't resist much. Yeah.
So we'll get back to Stump the Peter in a minute, but you know when Phil Smith came up and we were laying out the new chipping, putting, short game area, we took out about 100 trees. There was really nothing there, so our crew dropped 100 trees. Some big, some small.
Right.
And other contractors took the stumps out, and it kind of made the way. We just walked it out and did a rough pace, like how many yards could you chip, then went to Google Earth, kind of laid it out, got the square footages, sent a little couple ideas to Phil. He made it happen, but, you know, he flipped in the back of this old binder, old black 2-inch binder, and he's like, you know, when you guys told me you were going to flip the nines and where we were going to put this short game area, he's like, in the back of this binder, I found some of Tom Weisskopf's notes, and this was the turnhouse area, and that was number one. And it never had been routed that way ever in the history of this place until July this year. So, pretty sweet.
Yeah, and he, I don't know, this place, you know, this is
vortex.
Where he, yeah, and Weisskopf just passed away not too long ago. There's his message to you.
Right.
And I'm not even into that shit, but that's weird, you know, that... In the back of this binder, he was the original stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, it's got to go that way. I think it fits perfect. And then with the now the villas, all the building that's going on here, having it there, the only issue is the practice area couldn't be further away.
Well, the other issue is frost. Like, that's the frosty part of the course. Like, the current front nine stays frosty until... Yeah.
So as soon as we made the new front nine, the new starting point, we get into frost, and it's like, oh, hey, surprise, we're starting you back on old number one, which is now 10, back nine start. It's
the
warm
winter.
Nine.
Yeah.
So, but we'll get through it.
Yeah,
bigger problems in the world.
I think it seems to flow this is probably, the fifth time I've played here. I felt it should start there. You know, just something about it is started there. I like the end there, you know, at nine. I only played nine. I like that. No, I think it's good, man. This property is fucking awesome.
Yeah, we're working on like a 9-foot bronze statue of Weisskopf right now. It might just be. I think it's, it might be a little shorter than that, but, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah, it'll be right down in that location too.
Yeah, I just played the Jingweeds went to Black Desert in Utah.
Oh, sweet.
That is, again, much like this. It's this, only instead of trees and shit, put a lava field.
Yeah.
It was very interesting. I mean, the optics, unbelievable. Other than St. George, stinks. Like, I don't even know. I know it's part of the religion up there. I can't even imagine why they're just like, this has got to be it. We're going to build a community, and it's going to be the shittiest, what I thought, kind of like one of the shittier communities. But if I was involved with them, I'd probably get it a little bit more. But, man, you turn around and you look at this golf course, and you go out there and just keep St. George at your back and kind of play into the rock formations. It's spectacular.
Yeah.
But I'd kind of envisioned it being a lot more like this, secluded. I didn't think that we would kind of be like right in the middle. It feels like you're in the middle
resort.
Of town.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be a resort.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you meet Ross Lobsher
yep.
up there? Nice. Yeah, it's good. He's a good, good guy.
Everybody there was, you know, being that resort style and, you know, it's kind of like the new wave of like resorts where they like 15-minute tea times, 5-hour round, go have it, have at it. It's like a total experience. They want you to be there all day. And when you show up, the enthusiasm of everybody on that property, it wasn't like overwhelming where you're like, Jesus Christ, buddy, settle down. This isn't Disney World. But it was just, you were like, by the time you made it to that first tee, you're like, we're going to have a fucking blast up here. You know, blast with no pressure of people around you. I mean, we didn't see groups at all out there. Maybe in a couple of the crossing coming back from one hole to another, you may have saw somebody. But
that's the
an
most
experience.
That's probably the most bent grass you've played from tee to green anywhere out west, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was awesome. The conditions, obviously, it hasn't turned into a resort yet. So we'll see what happens there.
Right.
As far as, you know, you definitely, it's one of the courses that you want. You walk off and you're like, I need another run at that. Because things have changed enough that the GPS, some of the like new bunkers that they kind of put in now that are like, you can see is like a catch basin, aren't on the GPS. Mm-hmm. You know, yet a lot of this stuff hasn't been reloaded or anything. But to see what you're playing on and somehow put lava rock formations onto a GPS screen and let you figure that out, it's not going to happen. They definitely should have bought stock in Weed Eater String because the entire property has to, in and around every edge, the grass goes right up against these lava flows.
Wow.
So there's no in between. So it's just, I can't imagine how many miles.
Mm.
Of
that's harder to than trying to edge the whole place.
Are they hiring? We got the perfect guy. Your Bills fan loves edging. Weed eating.
Loves weed eating too.
Loves javelina. Loves weed.
Those
eating.
Are the only.
What do you call that in Massachusetts? Is it a?
It's a weed whacker.
I knew you were saying.
Oh no.
Yeah, I had.
That is the best.
You
that's
call
the most,
it? What do you call it?
I call it a weed.
A
whip.
Weed whip.
A weed whip. Yeah, it's a weed whacker.
Lee calls it a string trimmer, but I've
that's
always called
worst.
It a weed
yeah.
eater.
String trim is
yeah,
the
you
worst.
Just sound like an asshole when you say string trimmer.
Yeah.
Hopefully he listens to this episode so he hears me say that.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to get rid of the weed whacker because I'd say it so much and people were like, what are you talking about? And it's like this. And they're like, oh, that's a weed eater. So trying
and
to tell people what
to get your
to
whip.
Do.
The weed whip really threw me for a long time.
Yeah,
it's not a weed whip at all. It's definitely more of a weed whacker. And it's certainly not a weed eater.
Oh, I call it a weed eater.
Well, I know.
So you're saying it's only a weed whacker.
Yes.
I mean, a
again,
string trimmer
superior
makes
brand,
sense.
Superior. Yes. Yeah, it's our way or the highway. That's how this rolls.
Weed whacker.
Yeah. Well, you got to, well, it's not a weed whacker.
A whacker.
Yeah, it's a weed whacker.
I mean, I have a Boston sticker, cart path only, however you say it.
Yep. From the greenskeeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the property though is fucking wild. Then I can't, as that thing turns into a resort, those starters and everybody in the golf shop is going to be able to say, stay off of the lava, like enough, but that Pro V's only right there.
Yeah.
That fucking thing's right there and you step on it, it crumbles and you go
the
down.
Crypto soil.
No way.
Oh yeah. It kind of is. You know, it looks solid. A lot of it is just little chunky rock that just, you know, and you know lava rock, it's fucking light as the air. It'll just move on you and you go down and you think you're going to put your hands out in front of you.
Oh, no.
It is razor blade city. Yeah, you'd be fucked.
Mm.
Yeah, fucked if you went on this stuff.
So speaking of that, I just realized I'm super late to pick
you're
up
fucked.
Those two boys from school.
Oh, shit. You had so much fun.
Yeah. And somebody else's family's son, so I'm in it. Can I sign off right now?
Yes, you can, Andy. Thank you for having
thanks,
me.
Buddy.
Thanks
it's too
for
much
me come
fun.
Up.
That's why all I went by so fast. So
yes, exactly.
Well, great to have you up here, my friend.
Sweet. Oh, it won't be the last time. Once I get Cutler in there, he'll be coming back. I'm going to hit pause right now anyways because the boy needs to hit the...
It's like a little kid.
All right, and we're back. Andy had to go... He's got to go get the kids. He apparently didn't want to leave. He had so much fun. Hey, see? More people need to come on this fun time. Now, not that the boss is gone, because whatever, but we might as well open these boys and see. Emily brought some beers down from Flagstaff. It's the rainy days. What is this? I should have just even known. I didn't even have to turn it just from the can alone. Dark Sky Brewing Company. Great brewery if you're ever in Flagstaff. It's a trip in there, for sure.
And if you are gluten-free or have celiac like I do, you can still drink their beers because they use an enzyme that eats the gluten protein and makes it less than 5 parts per million, which is why I always go there.
That's fair. I guess you're going to need... Yeah, you would definitely want that as a beer drinker, or if you want to go enjoy beers. So they do it with all their beers?
Anything except... One of the ones I brought is a Fodor beer. So anything in it's brewed in like a Fodor.
Yeah.
They don't do it because they can't control the enzymes. But Lee and I have always been big beer drinkers. I mean, our dog's name is Barley for a reason.
Who is out like a light right now.
He had a busy week. He's between being here and Pine Canyon. I mean, he's never home. He's exhausted every day, which is great. I mean, he's 9, so he's getting old, but... He
definitely
loves
not
it.
A 9-year-old dog.
Oh, no.
Definitely not.
He loves
he's
it.
He's a good dog.
It's and pretty great to get to bring him to work every day.
Yes, Frankie loves coming to work when she gets to come to work. So this thing, Hazy IPA, Dan's favorite, just another hazy, 6.8%. I'm pretty sure I've had this.
It's one of their flagship ones, I think.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's a fucking really good beer. Way smoother than the 6.8 says. It doesn't list the IBUs, even though I like saying the IBUs, just because it is somewhat of a measuring post, but they don't mean a goddamn thing. You know,
I'm going to guess like 60.
I would probably put it in there 60, 50. I thought even less, 50-ish.
It's not really like, there's not like a bite to it.
Mm-mm. It's a good fucking beer, though. Mm-hmm. That's a birdie beer. And the can's cool. And the brewery's cool.
Interesting place for sure.
Yeah,
I will agree with you there.
It's a cool place because it is like none other that I've been to, but I could see like enough.
It's eclectic. We'll go with that.
It's settled down is what it is. You know, you go and you're like, well, this is cool. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, you've almost jumped the shark. Like one more fucking flying saucer on the ceiling and it's over. You know, settle.
Like melting pizza.
Yeah.
Like.
Settle down.
But I do. I don't. Do you have kids?
No.
Okay, same. I don't like kids. Fuck kids. Sorry. If you have kids, I'm glad you like them. But their one side of the brewery is kid free. You have to be 21 to go in. And then the other side is family friendly. So that's another perk that I like there is like we can bring the dog. We can go. We can chill. There's not a screaming child next to us. No one's yelling at their kid, smacking them, whatever.
Right, yeah. That's some of the breweries down there. Oso.
We like Oso. They do the same gluten removed thing, so we go there.
Okay, they just bought Helton Brewery. Hmm. Yeah, so they're going to keep it underneath the Oso umbrella, I believe. I might be talking out of school here, but I'm pretty sure I know what I'm saying. So Helton is in a real shitty part of Phoenix. But they're going to keep the building. The reason why they really wanted it is because it came with all the equipment and it's got a shitload of equipment in the back. But they're going to kind of keep it. It's going to be a nice mashup from what I've heard is they're going to keep everything there, you know, because they can't do much with it, with the building structure and where it's actually located. So that'll still be a little feel of the Helton Brewery, but with the Oso touch on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're also going to, you know, they're distilling things now. And I believe I read that they're going to move a bunch of their distilling stuff over there because they have the room for it. So they might kind of turn it into a little bit more of their boozy side.
Are you a bourbon drinker?
No, my wife is. Well, I'll drink it, but she knows it, drinks it, loves it. She's definitely more, I'm more of the beer. I'll drink whiskey,
mm-hmm.
depends on where I am, but I don't know enough about it. What's good, what's bad. I know what I like, what I don't like. She's the same way with wine. She knows all of those, and then I know what I... It's too many years of being in the bar, in the service industry, bartending. Is she picks all of it up, and then it's just... You get these... She's very interested in it as well. Mm-hmm. So she'll start to learn more and more, and then she meets the people that teach her all the things, and mm-hmm. then it's your own taste buds,
yeah.
you know, that really start to, oh, I like this, I don't like that. But knowing it all, yeah, she definitely... knows it.
That's more Lee's deal. Like when we were in college, when we lived in North Carolina in college, all of the liquor is priced by the state. So like Pappy Van Winkle, for example, yeah. like buy it out here, it's $1,500. You used to be able to get it in North Carolina for like $95. And they'd put you on a list. And when they had a release, they'd call you and be like, hey, we've got E.H. Taylor, Pappy, whatever. Come take your pick mm-hmm. of whatever you want. So we'd buy them all and then sell them on Facebook in these weird little groups that he was yeah. in. And then like he just kept buying them, and now he's got all these weird bourbons that are on the shelf, and like I'm not a big drinker, so like he Shit. Does that.
Yeah. You know Jordan Gill, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's that same way. He has this cabinet at his house that is, I mean, you don't even know what half the shit is. Half of it's not even, oh, well, he does drink it. I will give him that. It's not like.
So does Lee. He yeah, drinks
it. It's not like his fucking favorite baseball card that sits in the plastic for the you know remainder of his life. It does get drank. Obviously, some only on certain occasions. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he does the same thing. He ran into somebody at, he befriended a worker at one of the big box store. You know, I think it was Total Wine. Mm-hmm. He was just in there looking, and the person was like, hey, if you like this stuff, I can get it at my cost, and I'll just let you know when we get stuff in. It Man. Wasn't like, and he was just standing there looking at shit, and what? All of a sudden, now he's got a hookup that huh. get when they get rare stuff, he gets the phone call.
That's wild.
Yeah, and then next to where we live, there's a place called Magnum's. It's a... really a bourbon place. It's got a little speakeasy, but it's a cigar bar.
Hmm.
And he'll call me, or he has called me, hey, meet me at Magnum's later. I'm like, okay. And I just think he's calling me to be a friend. The motherfucker's slinging bottles to some other whiskey or bourbon goon, and they just use that as the hot spot. I thought he was being a buddy and wanted to come. Have, no, he's going to make off of
Oh yeah,
whatever
Lee
bottle.
He was always doing that. Same with like beers. There was a brewery in Indiana, I think, that you would buy their beers 4-pack, $20, and then you could sell that same 4-pack for $60 shipped, and then you just ship it to whoever wanted it. And like he would have his little ice packs, and like he's like bubble wrapping all the beers and sticking them in the box, and he's got his ice packs all lined around it, and he's going to the post office with a trunk full of beer, and like, what are you sending? Oh, salsa, hot sauce. Like, yep. Like, all right, yep, sounds good. And like, I mean, he had a buddy, so he got a call a couple of years back when we lived in Wisconsin, I think, from a ABC store back in North Carolina, and they're like, hey, yeah, we have this George T. Stagg. You're the next one up on the list. And he was like, I haven't been on this list in like 8 years since college, and you're still calling me. And he was like, well, I'm out of town. Can my buddy pick it up? They're like, yeah, sure. So his friend went and picked it up because we lived in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And his buddy kept it for like 3 years until he and Lee saw each other. And then he gave him the bottle and he opened it. And like, he's been drinking it, but I think it's nasty. It's real fiery.
Yeah.
Not for me.
It's so funny what makes, same thing with wine. You know, there's a dude, I know there's a documentary on it. The guy that would rub off labels. And he would make these label. He would rub off the label off of some shit wine, and then he'd relabel something that was worth tons of money. And he was doing it to like for a long time. And I'm pretty sure there's a documentary now, and it's like millions of dollars he was making off of like Barefoot.
Yeah.
And putting a new label on it of stuff that was rare and all this other stuff. And I could easily be that guy.
If you're clever enough to have the idea and make it work, like, I'm not going to fault you
And
for
if
it.
You're dumb enough to exactly. buy a $1,300 bottle of wine and then you're popping it and it's actually a $6 bottle of Barefoot.
That's on you.
That's on you. I agree. Because I would be the person, especially with whiskey or bourbon, be like, hey, this stuff's supposed to be. And I would just be like,
That How was that Evan Williams.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that is so hot. No, thanks. No.
We were talking about the like how our drinking type has changed. Like in college, I was like buying Rich and Rare. You couldn't pay me to drink that now. Yeah. Like Kentucky Gentleman. No, yeah. Never.
It's like Jack Daniels. Oh. Who would ever drink that? Even, and I love Jameson. But now since, you know, basically being with Leah and she turned me on to all this next level stuff, it's like, I would never, other than if I'm out at a bar and I was like, hey, give me a,
like a Jack and, you know, Coke. Yeah, yeah,
whiskey and ginger, whatever. I'll take what you're giving me. But if I'm going to go drink it,
yeah,
no.
Like I'm not keeping, same with beer, I'm not keeping a 12-pack of Coors Light in my freezer, in my fridge. I've got this, rainy yeah. days.
Well, you also need this specialty
then
row.
I can drink Coors Light, Bud Light, Budweiser, Coors Banquet are all gluten-free.
That's interesting.
Yeah, no one knows that.
What about Guinness?
No, Heineken, yes. Pacifico, Corona. There's like a list of light beers I can drink.
It's good to know, though, you know. It's good to know. But when you want to get into this level of stuff, it is good to know that there are breweries out there kind of pulling it off.
Yeah, and I mean, they do sours and stouts. I mean, they do every kind of beer. I think the first place we saw that had something like this was in Denver at Fiction Brewing. They've got a bunch of books everywhere. I don't know.
Yeah.
And we walked in and it was Lee's 30th birthday.
That's probably one of those places I would walk in and go, settle down.
That, yeah, we walked in and we were kind of like,
is this a fucking library?
Where are we? Yeah. Like, and they were like, oh, like we have some like gluten removed beers. And I was like, which ones? And they were like, all of them. And I was like, are you lying to me? Because I'll have a major problem. I'll pass out right away. Like, you don't want that. And she was like, no, I swear to you, you can talk to the brewer. And then more breweries just started doing it. And I don't know, I think it's kind of cool because I like beer. And just because, like, I might die if I drink the wrong one doesn't mean I don't want to drink some.
I've heard that, speaking of that part of it, and I think I talked about this before, is I believe it's changed, in, at least on the food end of it, that if you are caught, if you walked into a place and you said, hey, is this gluten-free? And they said yes, and they served you something that was not gluten-free, whoever served or made that or whatever, you can now push towards like a legit charge against them.
Huh.
So it's no longer like, oops.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's for real, for real.
That's interesting, because so like there's like some frozen pizzas. Hey.
Shh. Hey,
everybody. Barley's making some noise.
Yeah, everybody just heard you.
You're good. Relax.
You're all set. Back up in your chair.
Go night-night. Lay down. Go. There's go. No. Night-night. Good boy.
Yep.
Good boy.
He gives the same face Frankie does.
Now
like,
he's going to groan.
Seriously? Like.
You're fine.
You're mean.
You Mummy, just ran the course.
Mummy's mean.
You're good.
Oh, Mummy's mean.
Yeah, I'm kind of mean. That's why you like going to work with Lee.
And it's closer to home, too.
Way closer to home. But it's nice, like, having him in the car. I mean, I carpool with another guy coming down here most days. Today we drove separately because I wasn't sure how long this was going to be. And, I mean, I bring Barley with me, sits in the front seat, hangs out, makes a bunch of noise.
So when you drive, you're... person that rides shotgun have to sit in the back because Barley's
one time we made Andy sit in the back because he needed a ride home. And I was like, oh, just driving my kid home from school. He fits perfectly in the back of the Jeep.
That's fun.
Yeah,
oh shit.
Boy.
So how long have you been here?
I started here last August, so about a year and a couple months.
Okay. And like it? Love it?
I mean, so golf was not my path at all. Like when I went to college at Appalachian State, I have 4 business degrees. Lee and I owned a business together in Wisconsin for 5 years with my parents. We sold it in October of 2020. And everyone that says not to go into business with family is correct. You should not go into business with family. They're probably the worst business partners. So lesson learned. We kind of like took it as a loss and moved across the country and started over. He got a job at Pine Canyon because he wanted to golf. I was trying to buy a CrossFit gym and that kind of fell through. And he was like, why don't you just work at the golf course for the summer? See if you like it. Just an income for the summer. So a couple months in, after getting over the why am I raking bunkers, I have four college degrees. After getting over that, I kind of started to like it. And Josh, the superintendent there, was like, hey, you should go to turf school. And I was like, I don't need to go back to school. I'm like 30.
Yeah.
I certainly don't need to go back to school. But I did. And he moved me up to second assistant, Lee as well. And then we had another second assistant and a lead. And then I didn't even know Andy. I knew who he was, but I'd never met him. And I came down to Seven Canyons and talked to him for like 7 hours because Andy's a chatter.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I moved down here and I really like it. I mean, the course, like you said, is beautiful. And we've done a lot of really big projects. I grew in the new short game greens. I've got 24 new tees growing in right now. So it's fun. It's different.
Yeah, you kind of caught this place as, you know, me and Andy were talking about it on the range tee, and you could almost, you were like, really? Really? Like, as like what this place was.
Yeah.
It was, if you got a chance to play out here back when it was built, it was A, how did you get out there? Who did you know, or how'd you get out there?
Hmm.
Right? And then you came up here, and it was none of this. Like, none of the buildings.
It's just, like, completely secluded.
Yes. Yeah, there was no, there was definitely no clubhouse. There was, I bet those pads were leveled for those villas year, like a well into a decade.
Man.
Those things were level. You could see all the spots, but, you know, the hillside was kind of blown out for mm-hmm. them, and they were all leveled, but nothing done because the 2008 destroyed this place.
I mean, makes sense. It's elite or yeah, whatever.
It was elite. You know, it was, from what I heard, you know, you're talking 35 people on the crew, 40 people on the crew.
Yeah, they were walk mowing approaches, walk mowing fairways.
There wasn't a blade of grass out of place. And that's crazy. When you couldn't get out here. You know, no one could ever. There was always like, in our world, it was this, it was almost like this lost land with seven canyons. You know, like, oh, if you ever got out there. But it was always talked about. We didn't know anybody. I mean, literally, in our world, at least, is like, back then, I was a second assistant, you know, trying to find and learn and see everything I could. Mm-hmm. And this was a place that you just heard about from vendors. You did not know anybody that played it.
There's a couple guys that are still here. The other assistant, Lalo, he said back then they weren't allowed to take pictures of the course at all.
That's what, like, I've heard too.
No pictures. And I mean, you know, I take pictures of it all the time. Like, that wouldn't really work out so well for me.
Right. Yeah. So then this place became almost like a ghost town. Then you never heard anything about it. And it was like, oh, yeah, the economy really crushed this place. So now it's back. You know, new ownership group comes in. You can see everything that's happening. Obviously, you have the backdrop of this joint is going to sell itself.
Well, right? And they can't build back there. It's all national forest. So.
Correct, in which they shouldn't. You know, there's no way that they should. This is the line that has to be drawn.
This is all we have is what you've seen on the new back nine, like the new front nine. Nothing will ever go back there. You won't have cell phone signal if I can help it.
Yeah, there is a deep down hippie in me that this place has to stay like this. Like, Sedona has to stay like this. This is the part of Sedona that I would say, if you could ever get to it, you've got to see this side. I'm going to tell everybody on this thing that Bell Rock is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Cathedral Rock is the most amazing thing.
If you can see it.
You've got to go and ride your bikes. They're unreal rides. They're unreal hikes. It's totally wink-wink.
The biking down here.
Secluded. Don't go near Seven Canyons. It's awful riding. It's awful hiking. Everything that's really cool is where they put all the parking lots. I promise you.
Yeah, come down here. It's ugly.
Yeah, it's boring. Just, well, it's off the beaten path. You gotta go through traffic light, and then there's no traffic lights, so you're not sure where you're going. I'm telling you, just stick to right next to that Bell Rock, and you'll see Sedona exactly how the postcard told you.
And
would be.
So this summer, some bikers got lost back here, which it's really easy to do, to be honest with you. There are so many trails. Some people came, they popped out at the driving range, and I saw them. And I was like, how's it going? And the lady looked at me, and she looked awful. I mean, they must have been out there for a while. And she was like, where are we? And I was like, oh, we're at Seven Canyons Golf Course. Where did you come from? And the husband was like, I don't know. We've been lost for hours. We were just riding our bikes. We ran out of water. And we've just been riding in circles, I think. And I was like, well, I can take you to the clubhouse and, like, get you some water and maybe a ride home.
Yeah.
Like, and they were freaking out. But, like, people get lost out here all the time.
Do you know where they started? Right out here at the
probably
entrance?
Probably right around the other side of the entrance.
I wasn't... That fucking parking lot killed me. It was like, ugh, you've opened it up. Now you're letting them all in.
Mm-hmm.
You're letting them into, like, these little secrets. Now, if there was a charge there that was somehow going to get me $5 a car,
mm-hmm.
all right, put them
I
there.
I mean,
I like the
other
the
direction
old days.
Down Dry Creek, you have to put in $5 into the little thing.
I think... I like the idea of having to jockey for positions on the side of the road. I understand, you know, all the new boulders that mm-hmm. they put in. I get that because you couldn't drive down this road.
I mean, and people
at
would
times.
Be walking in the middle of the road and they don't move.
Yeah, I get that part of it, but man, it's inevitable that it's gonna happen. But when you see them kind of mow this area over and throw up. At least they put a pisser in there, though. That's cute.
But
yeah, it's, I know. Whatever.
I mean, I guess a big part of it is probably people come out here, they rent a car. Yep. They don't rent a Jeep or a truck. And then they try to park that car on the side of the road. Right. And then they get stuck. And then they're freaking out. And we got tow trucks on this road every other day.
Yeah.
And people are mad. And it's just...
I get it, but please... Bell Rock is the place
to go. Just
don't
come over here.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to find the subway tunnel. Like, y'all think you are, but I promise you won't. Yeah. Like, unless you know the exact turn,
mm-hmm.
you're not finding it.
Yeah. The biking out here is unreal.
What kind of bike do you have? Is it electric?
No.
Okay, good. I was going to judge you so much. I don't know. You're kind of old.
That's fucked up. But... No, I have a Fazari, a Cascade. It's a pretty sweet bike. Ride it now
full
again.
Suspension?
Oh yeah, full suspension.
Check it.
Yeah,
just check it.
Listen, I'm no fucking pussy. Okay.
I mean, I am. I definitely cry a lot.
So, when me and the Toro dealer came out here one day, this was probably three. Shit, this was pre-COVID, because the bike did go down for a little bit. Right around COVID, but pre-COVID, we were pretty heavily into it. We took a day off, came up here, and I rode out here, and it was like, and I remember yelling to him saying, now I understand Sedona. I totally understand this.
Yep.
Because everything else is the postcard, all everything we talked about down Trinket Row.
Yeah.
It's the biggest tourist trap in the fucking world.
Oh my God. If you don't know the little areas, like, you're stuck with thousands of people.
Yes.
You got the crystals and whatever else everyone's got out there. Yeah. Like,
it's I mean, how much turquoise can you sell to make a living?
Yeah, seriously. And I know it's not all real.
Exactly.
Let's be real here. That's paint. That's nail polish.
But yeah, it's when you get out into this stuff, it is unreal. And you get to work, you know, there's so many of us that say that what makes part of our job every day, you know, me and Dan talk about it a lot because we both look at the same sunrise every day, two different golf courses, but the same spot. And we don't see the valley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see northern Arizona. So it's like, it's almost like this little escape from the world. And this one, to see this every day and see the sunrises and the sunset, I mean, this is a special spot.
It's pretty incredible.
I would get that, all right, I get why they opened up the crystal shop and made up these vortexes and all this other shit out here, right?
I mean, you really get, like, the Sedona, like, experience when you come, like, play our course. When you have no cell phone signal the entire time, you're forced to look around. You mm-hmm. can't be talking to your buddy in California. You're looking up, paying attention.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it just kind of, like, forces you to slow down a little bit when you come out here. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, adjusting to not having a phone all day was rough.
Yeah, I
you
bet.
You can't contact anyone.
But then when you did adjust, you were like,
it's
oh,
great.
This is great.
Now
then
I
when
have,
you...
if you open my phone, I probably have 100 unread text messages because I just don't look at them because, like, yeah. What's the point? you texted me 10 hours ago. I didn't see it. Can't be important anymore.
And then once you get to the supermarket there, the bashes or whatever, then it, I bet it just every day when you leave here, it just that's when
I
it
take
catches
it off
up.
Airplane mode, and I'm just like, oh my god, I'm not even looking. I don't even care now. Like,
yeah, it's a cool spot. It's pretty wild. But yeah, so you got into this like right at the time when these people were, all right, we're re-putting money back and do a lot, like kind of the dog that sat at the kennel forever.
Yeah.
Right. And now there's a lot of work going on. Obviously we talked about it being rerouted to its original spot. What else is on the horizon here that you know of as far as, you know, are they going to put any more renovation? You know, the bunkers were redone,
yep.
Which last time I played, they were all in the construction. Now it's like, oh
yeah. Now they're all in.
Yeah, now they're all there. Not that it's just nice to see it all put back together, mm-hmm. and you see this flowing golf course now. What's next?
Well, so we did the short game area. That was my major project from I seeded in March and opened it in July. So two bent grass greens there. Now my project is tee renovation. I'm seeding all the tees. So we're switching from like a Poa rye mixture to bent fescue, which has been pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said, I didn't do this before, so it's pretty new to me.
Yeah.
When Andy was just like, yeah, you got it. I was like, are you sure I got it? Because I don't think I got it.
Gonna be a baby or grizzly,
and I just kind of figured it out, and it's cool that he's trusted me with that entire process. I mean, he really doesn't ask me what's going on with him. He just says, what are you doing today? And I tell him, and he's like, all right, you got it, like,
right.
It's on you.
And then when he drives around, he knows exactly what's going on with him, but it's your thing.
Yeah,
that's awesome that he's let you,
like, he never says you need to go do this today. He's like, when are you doing this? And I say, well, that's a Wednesday thing. All right, well, it's Tuesday, so I'm not doing it. Like, and he gets that, which is really nice. So now we still have 50-ish tees to do, but now it's too cold. So done with that for now, kind of putting that on hold, trying to open up a few as they become available and ready. We've got major construction going on new number 14, old number 5 par 3 tees. You didn't get that far.
Mm-mm, no.
But the par 3 that you drive all the way up the hill and then you hike up the other hill.
Yep. Yep.
expanded those quite a bit. Took out the railroad tie, whatever in-house project that was.
Yeah.
We put up a bunch of boulders, did all new irrigation. We're not going to grow those in because we want to be able to open them pretty quickly. So we have to sod that, which kills me that we're sodding it, but.
But you get it,
one
right?
Day,
there's a point where there's some things you have to do and just get it done. At least they're all right. So you got 51 others to do.
Okay? I mean, yeah, trust me, I'm not excited to start reseeding because I have a spreadsheet of my 25 right now, and I seeded them all in groups of 3 or 4. So like these 3 get fertilizer this week, and then these next 3 start next week, and then it's so much. But it's fun. I really enjoy it. We did our all-new nursery. So we've got a bent grass nursery, a rye grass nursery, 5 bent grass test plots, a bluegrass nursery, and a fescue nursery, all back at the end of the range where the javelina were earlier. Love
well,
that.
You said that they don't touch any of these sandy nursery spots, so.
Well, they were hanging out on the rye nursery for a while.
Yeah.
So
they weren't digging and rooting. They were just resting.
Maybe. Who cares? They're just doing their... I can't do anything about
it. It's, that's
I got a slingshot. That's pretty fun. But
how good are you with it?
Honestly, it's not as hard as you would think it is.
Well, no, I would never have thought it was
hard. I mean, you would. If you try it the first time, it's super awkward. And the like ball bearing that I use just falls to the ground. But one of the guy that I ride here with, he uses it a lot. And if you get him in the face, they don't like it very much. But
again, it does nothing. You're like, ooh, I got it. And you just go in the...
And then you kind of laugh and then it walks right back towards you again. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing we're working on. Javelina, obviously, getting a fence constructed. We are talking about...
You're doing the fence all in-house?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, no. Just making sure. I was going to ask that when Andy was talking about it. I was like, what is that going to
entail? I do not
entail?
Have time for that.
Yeah. Like, no, I didn't.
I mean, there's so much. The damage itself is taking up so much time from the crew that, like, we could be out rough mowing or fly mow trim or doing detail work that we just don't have time to do. Because every day it's like, all right, you two or you five or you eight have a lane of damage.
And what's, like, your crew size here?
I think we're 15 and a half full-time equivalent. I think we have like 18 or 19 total.
Okay.
Including me, Andy, Lalo, mechanic. Yeah.
And you're a full-time, year-round operation. Like, it doesn't, it's not like Pine Canyon where you came from where they shut down.
Nope, we only close Christmas Day.
So Thanksgiving you're open too?
I worked last Thanksgiving, went home, put my turkey in.
Yeah, we even close on Thanksgiving.
Oh no, you got to get your morning round in.
Well, yeah, I get it. You know,
I mean, I used to go to the CrossFit gym on Thanksgiving Day and we would eat a pie during the workout. You did your pie wad with a partner and your time didn't stop till you finished the pie.
Oh, gross.
You definitely don't want turkey after that. Right. But it was fun.
No, thanks.
Hey.
He's fine. He's just yapping.
Squealing for no reason.
He's like, it's time to go.
Staring at me. Oh, it's no, we have at least an hour before we can go. You got to come say hey. Get a big stretch in.
Act like it's a big problem.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, when you fly out of the cart 15 times a day, a little tired.
Yeah. Well, he's at the size that you said he doesn't like riding on the floor, doesn't like standing. That's where Frankie's spot is. She will lay and lounge on the bench seat all day long.
I will.
Until you get into it. Like, if I don't know where she is, I have to know, where's my cart? And she's just...
Really?
Just back at it, just hanging out. Yeah.
Oh, no. If she'll I can't leave, find him, he's in the native somewhere sniffing something.
No, she'll go and... she'll leave my office if I'm in there for a little bit too long, you know, doing shit or whatever. She'll leave... And I'll just watch her out the window and she'll just mosey and then just hop up and do the same thing just out on the cart. Like,
no way.
Yeah, it's ready to go. Huh. Ready to go. But
he hates getting in the cart. He wants to run. And like I said, he's 9. I mean, you can't run all day, every day. You're exhausted.
Frankie's 2. And I think she was built to be a stand there and guard things. So too many miles on her. She likes hiking. She loves hiking. But running along the golf cart, she's just smart enough to go like, what am I running? You're going to bring me there. So I'll just jump in. She likes to run along the side of it, but then at times she just kind of gives you the look. You hit the brake and she just jumps in.
But I wish.
She loves standing on the floor, just cruising, ears blowing in the breeze. Then the minute you stop, she's out and gone. Huh.
But you got her as a puppy, and she started riding in the cart then, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So when we started working at the golf course, he was 6, and we used to bring him with us to our business all the time. He would just hang out in the warehouse and chill all day while we were out. But when I started putting him in my cart, like, he's a front seat dog in the car, because my old car had heated seats, and we lived in Wisconsin, and Barley doesn't have a lot of hair. So he was in the front seat. So he would hop up in the seat in my cart, and I was like, yo, you're going to fall out. And then he did. And then he fell out again and again, and he never learned. And he just keeps sitting with his butt on the top of the seat, his back legs dangling, and his front feet kind of securing him.
Yeah, he needs a bench seat. I think most turf dogs, they would do much better with a bench seat.
Yeah. Because he likes enough to lay behind me, but like, you can't lay behind me when I have my water bottle and 10 other things in between us.
I think Dan's lays on the floor of it.
Man.
Dan rescued a little red heeler. Coolest dog, but he's got some issues where he came from. Hmm. He was a heeler still with his boys hanging, so he's got tons of energy. A
lot of energy.
And he was in an apartment,
aww,
like a 600 square foot apartment. Yeah.
Oh, no, you can't have a healer in an apartment. No.
So he's got the best life in the world now, but he is afraid of a lot of things because probably he got whacked around.
Oh, yeah. You know?
So, yeah, when he gets in the cart, it's on the floor, but he will run that entire golf course like it's
no
problem. Oh, yeah. And he'll get into the mix with the coyotes. He went after a pack of javelinas
last
week. He does
bad decision making. he hates the, well, he hated the water till Frankie taught him how to swim.
He taught him how to swim.
Basic. Well, we're not sure if he's swimming, but now, well,
he'll get in the water.
We have a
with
negative
her?
Edge in and out, where at Dan's course, they're straight off. They're all
we're
concreted.
Straight off too.
So he, no way. And, but he wouldn't get into his pool either at his house. But Frankie went bombing in and he just went following. It was almost like, I'm just following her. And then
no
it was
plan.
Like, oh, wait a second. And he's fucking rolling in it, head under the water, like the whole deal. Yeah, he changed his life.
Changed
and
his
I
life.
Said, hey, so I said, when you bring him back to the Fire Rock, I said, did he get back in? He's like, nope. He's like, had no interest.
You got to bring Frankie out there.
Yeah, I know.
She'll jump in.
Yeah.
Oh, someone needs me. That's all right. Hang on.
We've got enough. Wow.
So, yeah, that was just the knock on the door was the irrigation guys, and I made a comment. 3 o'clock compared to us, like, I'm 3 o'clock, and that's late. My crew's 4:30 to 12:30.
What?
Yeah. What do you do here?
Well,
what do you guys do?
Usually in the summer, we're 5 to 1:30. But now as it's getting colder, I mean, this morning it was 40 when we got in, and which was like the warmest it's been all week. So now we're 6:30 to 3, which sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Because now I don't get home till like 5:30.
Yeah.
So I live an hour away,
right.
Minimum. And I don't leave at 3 when everyone else leaves. I
oh,
have
no.
my shit to go do. And then
yes.
Andy leaves me a list. And
oh,
then
yeah.
I start to leave. And he's like, oh, hey, let me tell you about Prescott Lakes real quick. And yeah. Andy, I got to go.
Yeah. But is Andy one of the ones that sticks it out with you?
Oh, yeah. This is pretty rare that he leaves. Like, it might be once a week. Usually he's here way after I'm here.
Yeah. Back like, in the day when I was at Highlands, you know, with me and Dave, the other assistant, it was, if you're in it, I'm in it. Like, it didn't matter. Like, Phil would always be like, both of you are going to stay here?
Yeah.
All right, I think we're back for the last time here. We've been interrupted enough. And then on the last interruption, we kind of got off on something that was definitely not going to be on this podcast. Because Emily didn't want it on the podcast. Not that I was ever going to ask it. It was a question that I was never going to ask about the whole thing. And then she had her opinions about it. And it was something that I'm sure some of you are probably wondering why. But I'm still, there's the teaser right there. If you don't get it, it's the elephant in the room. She had an opinion about it and it fucking was hilarious. And then it just went on to some shit that I think that should be in there. And it's your rise, how in the world you got into this, what you did before, and where you're going with it. Is your aspirations to be a superintendent someday? Or do you feel that one day maybe you'll just use this as a catalyst to either get back into the CrossFit business, back into the other business that you told me about that you have, which you got out of that one at the right point. Thank you, COVID.
Thank you, COVID.
Thank you, COVID. You got out of that at the right point. Just because it was a high dollar sell, I'd imagine, at the COVID point. But, or is there something else? Where's the plan go from here?
I mean, so when I got into golf, like we were just talking about, not on podcast, my goal was never really to be in golf. It was really just I needed some income for the summer. And my fiance Lee was like, oh, I just got a job at Pine Canyon. Just come rake some bunkers, be stress free for a little bit. Little did I know.
Yeah.
I would be stressed out more than ever. But this is kind of supposed to be more of a stepping stone while I figured out what I wanted to do next. And I really do like the golf industry. I like the turf side of the golf industry, and definitely not the actual golfing side. But
I think because you stink at it, or you just it isn't fit for your brain.
I like playing golf. I will say that I don't always like the culture, I guess, is more of what I was getting at.
Yeah.
Like the inside.
You need the
people.
Jingweed culture. You don't yeah. need the other. Yes.
Yep. I like the outside people culture a yeah. lot better than the inside people culture.
Yep.
So, I mean, Lee and I are throwing out quite a few ideas for a while. You know, I was like, I really want to be a superintendent. I think that'd be a really cool thing to achieve, something to work towards. But I've met a lot of superintendents and I've talked to a lot over the last few years. And I don't know. I mean, the quality of life that they all seem to have is not so great. And I really liked having my own business. I liked working for myself. Lee and I make incredible business partners. We've always worked together since we were 21 years old. This is actually the first time in almost 10 years that we haven't worked for the same company or been offices next to each other.
That's interesting.
We kind of, our strengths worked well together, and he kind of brings me back to the ground when I start floating off in the clouds with all my ideas.
Yeah.
But I think long term, we'd like to start another business is the goal. I don't see that happening anytime in the very near future, but that is definitely the goal.
And that's to whatever, right? You're not sure, or I mean, we touched upon it on off of this. Do you think it'll be turf wise, or do you think it'll be back to what you guys probably like to do off?
You guys are like
adventure, get out into the hills. And so my first reason why I went to college for recreation.
Like rec management?
I went to be a phys ed teacher.
You know what they say, right? Those that can't teach gym.
Probably. Yeah, but I like the lifestyle. Like, you get all your summers off, all this other shit. And gym class, to me, was kill the man with the ball.
That was the best class.
It was the best. Now, I've told this 1,000 times, is when I went to my first student teaching, it was basketball. From the teacher that was at the elementary school that was on our campus, he had won Phys Ed Teacher of the Year. Oh. 3 of the past 5 years. This fucking dude comes out. If he ever legitimately fielded a ground ball and threw to actually first base without taking it off the teeth first and just luckily throwing it in the direction, there's no fucking way. This dude, he got run over his whole life. You know, typical glasses, sweatpants, pulled up to his armpits. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Goober. Yeah. Some would call him pube.
They might call him pube.
Yeah. Some people call him goober. Anyways, sweatpants up to his armpits, the whole deal. And he says, all right, we have 28 kids today. How many basketballs do we need? And you're like, all right, when these kids are third graders, you don't want to put them out on like a 5-on-5 game or whatever. All right, there's like 2-on-2, 3-on-3 drills. Do the math in your head. You're like, all right, like 7 or 8. Nope, 30. Because in case a ball gets away from one of them, they don't have to go so far to pick up the other one.
This is gym class.
I was like, holy shit, I'm out. So then I switched to recreation. And my feeling was, a kid that I went to college with, his parents owned the biggest recreational rental and outfitter company on Nantucket Island. Which Nantucket is got money.
Ooh, yeah.
And this kid had money. I mean, he drove the coolest cars with the best systems in his car at the time. And it was like, all right, I could do that. Like, that looks like something cool. But same kind of thing. I thought I was going to come out here. When Arizona got on the map, that was why I wanted to come out here. But I was always landscaping all my summers away. And then that's what I was good at. I just knew that this was probably going to be the road I went down. When I moved out here, I just got into the vitamin and supplement industry and then looked out the window all the time like, I need to be back outside doing what I know I can do. But my goal was to be into this recreational, you know, rental or guide type company. And I think if I would have done that in 2020 when I moved to this fucking state... Matty G would be fucking sitting somewhere, puffing cigars, probably a bunch of weed, looking down at it all, being like, haha, I sold a huge business, is probably what I would have done.
Yeah.
But now if I started, I'm fucked because there's so many others. They're a dime a dozen. And I'm sure every week down at the, you know, register your business office, it's another one trying to do it because there's endless people coming.
Yeah, it's a tourist trap here. Yeah. I mean, I'd never even heard of Flagstaff until right after we sold the business in October of 2020, we took a bit of a sabbatical because we had no clue what we were doing. And we were like, all right, like, We're giving ourselves until January to really figure out what we want to do. So January 2nd, I told Lee, I was like, hey, I need to get out of here. And I need to go be by myself. Like, you can go do your thing. I'm going to go do my thing. I'll be back in a couple weeks. So he went to Jackson Hole, went snowboarding. And I came out here.
I've never been. Well, how the fuck did you guys not stay there? Just because it was cost?
It's so expensive. There's no jobs. Like, there's nothing there. So he
I've
had
heard
never
nothing
been out
but
here.
The greatest
beautiful
place in the world.
He was trying to do Corbett's, and they closed it that morning because it was too windy, so he didn't get to do it.
Oh.
So that's just another reason for us to go back. Not that I will ever do that. I've broken like 30 bones. I don't need 31 to be on Corbett's at Jackson. So I took Barley, the dog, and hopped in the car, and I was like, I'll be back in a couple weeks. So I just drove west. I wanted to see the Grand Canyon. I'd never been west of South Dakota. So really exciting place. So one of my buddies was like, drive through Flag on your way. You'll probably really like it. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Got to Flag at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, went to the CrossFit gym, went to Whole Foods, back to the hotel, went to bed. Next morning I woke up, called Lee, and I was like, I think we should move here. And he was like, where are you? And I was like, Flagstaff. I was like, look it up. And a month and a half, 2 months later, we moved. We just packed up, no plan, no apartment, threw all of our stuff in a U-Haul and said, fuck it, let's go. Got out here, and I wanted to buy the CrossFit gym. I had my heart set on owning a CrossFit gym, but the financials didn't work out from their end. I looked at all of their P&Ls, and I was like, you are bleeding money. Like, I'll be worse off if I do this.
I would say that has to be... it has to be in the perfect location.
And I mean, they've got a great location where that gym is, and it ended up selling this past summer to a new guy, and he's doing great. But like, I had just gotten out of a business that I absolutely hated. I don't think I was in the right mindset at that time to start another business as much as I wanted to. If I had, I would have failed. Like, there's no doubt in my mind, if I'd bought that gym within 6 months, I would have closed the doors because I wasn't ready.
Right. Yep.
And I loved doing CrossFit. Loved it. I trained at that gym, snapped my wrist in half at that gym. I quit competing and like kind of got away from like the big CrossFit classes pretty recently. But I mean, I'll always have a love for it. And if one day I'm a bajillionaire, I'll open a CrossFit gym in a heartbeat.
Well, you stay in this turf business and you will be a bajillionaire. I promise you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You'll always have a reason to go and release everything in your head.
That I go to the gym at 2:30 in the morning. So, like, I'm a psychopath because you don't have energy after. When I get home, I won't get home until 5:30, 6 o'clock tonight. There's no chance I'm going to the gym after I just walk mode teas and fertilized greens and whatever else. Like,
there's your workout.
That's all the guys are always like, that's pointless. I don't know why you go to the gym. Nope. It's for my mental health more than anything. Yes. Like, the days I don't go, you can tell. Like, not a happy camper.
Yeah, most of the reason why I mountain bike and hike with the dog is not because I think I'm getting a workout. It has everything to do with above the shoulders.
I mean, Lee bought us mountain bikes this year. He just surprised me. One day I came home and there was a bike in the living room. And I was like, whose is this? And he's like, that's yours.
Nice.
And I was always a road biker. Loved road biking. And he was like, you love hiking? You like road biking? We'll just push them together and you can mountain bike.
Yeah.
And I liked it at first. And then there was a really bad accident on Mother's Day where a woman died and we were there on her mountain bike. And Flagstaff, we were there, and like it destroyed me. I wouldn't even look at my bike for probably 2 months. I wouldn't touch it. And
did you guys? I don't want to.
You're good. I can talk about it now.
Did you roll up on it?
Yeah. Like, we talked to the husband and the son. I carried her bike down the trail. I was covered in blood. Her bike was covered in blood. The other lady that was there, that family, she helped carry the son's bike. And like, it was definitely eye-opening.
And you guys were the only two that rolled up on this?
It was us
thing?
And then another couple and their son. And the other couple, the husband is the Flagstaff Flyers. He's their coach. So he was able to flag down the helicopter and she stayed with Katie, the woman that passed away, and I got the bike and her helmet and got it to her husband and son. And I couldn't get on my bike for a long time, and it definitely, it's weird grieving the death of a stranger, because I've never talked to her before.
Right, yeah.
But it, like, fucked up my whole life for months.
Well, you also entered part of, I would say, the fucked up part for me would be, you now just somehow just morphed into their life, into these other strangers. You're now doing exactly somewhat what they're doing, yet you don't even know who she is.
Oh, yeah.
Or they are.
And, like, her kid was 11. And he was there, and the dad pretty much knew Katie wasn't going to make it, so he just kept the son off to the side and talked to him, rather than, like, being down there and the son watching his mom die. His mom was down in the creek, and he was up on the hill with the son, kind of just, like, keeping them away. He handled it better than I ever could have. But, it just kind of got into my head that, like, I can't mountain bike. I'm going to die. Like... But then Lee was like, okay, you drive
your car. I hope my wife doesn't hear this, because she will think the exact same thing. Like,
and that is so rare. And Lee had me walk myself through, what kind of bike did she have? She had a hardtail from REI. Not meant for that kind of trail. What kind of helmet did she have on? Did it have MIPS? No, it didn't. It was just a regular Bell helmet. Did she look like she was a confident rider?
Way to smash these companies.
Sorry. Those are great, but only if you're on the road.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah,
on the sidewalk, actually.
Yeah, maybe on a skateboard if you're lucky.
Maybe not on Schultz Creek Trail, like, which is a really popular trail, and I like really used to like it, but I will not ride it.
Still, now you don't.
I've walked it. I went to the crash site. I brought some flowers and like wrote a note to the husband and just left it there. I don't know if you ever saw it, but I won't ride that trail. There's just something in me that like can't do it.
I get it, I guess.
We've ridden past it, and I like started crying, and Lee was like, what are you doing? We're not going that way. And I was like, I know, I don't know what's wrong with me.
It's fair, man. That's a fucked up thing to like witness, or like, here it is. Hello world, this is you. Now how are you gonna deal with it?
Yeah, like good luck. And like, so there was a big memorial for her, and I was actually out here the day of the memorial, and I was like, I can't go to that. I don't even know her. Like, there's no reason for me to go. And I was actually mowing the new putting green before it was open. This was like right after Mother's Day. And this butterfly would not leave me alone. And like, I don't believe in any of that stuff at all.
Neither do I until it fucking shows up.
This purple and yellow butterfly, the most vibrant colors I've ever seen, would not leave me alone. And I couldn't take a picture because it would just go away. So that night I'm like looking at like the memorial page, and it's like, hey, yeah, come out to her memorial this weekend. She loves bright colors. Purple and yellow were her favorite colors. And I still get goosebumps like just thinking about it. So like, that's kind of what got me back on my bike a little bit. And now like, Lee said, I bought you that bike. You better ride it. Not really. I do ride it now.
Right.
I love road biking, but the same thing could happen on a road bike.
Oh, you get absolutely. Hit by a car. Yeah.
A bunch of riders up in Flag got hit by an RV a few weeks ago, and like, I went out and rode on the same road the next day. Like, and so, that's why I do like mountain biking still. And I like being active. I like hiking and running and all that shit. But
what's he do with the bikes?
He'll run next to us. He doesn't mind them.
Frankie loves,
but he's
running
old.
Along.
He can't go that long.
We only go certain a distance, but she loves to get in between us two. She likes it, I think, best when I'm in front, she's in the middle. Same thing hiking. I'm in the front, she's in the middle, and Leah's in the back.
Barley leads the way on hikes, but I always pick the back on a bike, even though Lee's always like, what if you fall? How am I going to know you're back there? And like, you'll hear me, don't worry.
Yeah, hear you fall like a bag of
sand.
But
he likes to run. Like, well, I take him on a lot of trail runs. And he is always like 30 yards ahead of me. And then he waits and he looks. And when he can see me again, he takes off.
Yeah, hiking, if it's just me and her, it's always just out in front with mom around. It's funny how, because we went the other day, yesterday, and she was just like different.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different, because Leah works fucking weird hours. You know, totally different than what I do. So on Saturdays, it's like, all right, let's go. We're going hiking or whatever. And Leah has to go to work. And she's totally different than yesterday when we went. It was like nope, mom's here. I'm a different dog.
Lee, or when Lee's around, Barley is much different. Like, and it is nice we work the same hours, but we had opposite weekends up until this past weekend for the last year and a half. We worked opposite weekends, had opposite weekends off. Like, never really saw him. Mm-hmm. So Barley just kind of hung out with me on the weekends, and then I would always bring him here on my weekends to work because I'm not trying to be here by myself all afternoon.
Like, right, yeah.
I don't have my dog.
Yeah.
But when Lee's around, there's definitely a little more respect than when I'm around.
That's funny because she just like almost protects Leah more than me. It is definitely like this chain of command inside the house. And then I'm not that person that's like, oh, this is my way or the highway, ma'am.
Neither is Lee, but I think that's just kind of like what Barley sees. And then like he sees me and he's like, oh, mom.
Yeah,
I can fuck
off. But I think Leah treats her, I guess she would be more free with me every day compared to what, because Leah does all the training, all, like when she was a puppy, it was like, you're staying home with mom today. And I would always tell her, it's school,
you know, because
Leah's a teacher as well. So it's like, it's going to be school all day. So all her training and all the way she is definitely all Leah. Yet she gets to party with me all day. But there is a huge respect factor of like, I can't get too far away, you know. But then when she's with mom, she's a good little student. Whereas I let her fuck off all day long, you know.
I mean, we're both pretty strict because, like, we had Dobermans before this, and like they need a routine.
Yeah.
And like when I got Barley, he was my college graduation present to myself that I did not need, but I was adamant that I was getting.
Yeah.
And Lee was like, "We do not need a dog. You're moving to Georgia by yourself." I was like, "All the more reason I need a dog."
Mm-hmm.
So I got him, and he was awful. Oh my god, he ate everything. He would tear up the carpet.
Was he a rescue?
Yeah. I got him at like 11 months old, but he doesn't bark because I think his last owners used to like beat him a little bit when he barked. Now he just doesn't bark. And like, he's the best dog I've ever had. I mean, he broke me a couple times. There was definitely some, I can't do this. What am I doing? Yeah. Why do I have you?
Well, and they're like, puppies or kids in the same way. It's like, fuck, there's this level of like, no. But then once they reach that spot, you're like, this is the best, like Frankie's in the spot of 2 years old, the best dog we've ever had.
I think it was like three for him. Same thing. Like, I couldn't ask for a better dog than that. I mean, look at him. He's just laying there. Like, he's easy.
He is in a tiniest little ball for a dog that's as tall and lanky as he is.
Yeah, he looks like me and Lee. He's like tall and awkward and like, kind of walks weird. Like,
yeah, he was meant for you too.
I mean, I'm 5'11", Lee's 6'7", Barley's right there with us.
Barley would be the 5'3"
You can pretty much tell which family he belongs to when you look around at the dog
all
park.
All legs. And not a fucking ounce of fat on him.
Oh, no. He runs too much. Like, I mean, he goes to both golf courses. He spends half the week at Pine Canyon, half the week here, like, depending on which one of us can take him.
He lives the life.
He really does.
He lives at two of the best. Like, I wish Lee was supposed to come and play golf with me. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, what the heck,
for taking
Josh.
The day off and making Lee work. But, because Pine Canyon, I'm definitely going to come back up here. We'll get Lee on this thing because Pine Canyon is, in my eyes, and I know zero about this world other than a little bit of golf, maybe one of the best clubs. If I was a bajillionaire and lived in Arizona, I would say fuck Desert. Well, I wouldn't say fuck Desert Highlands because that's where my heart is. But the mountain, the Whisper Rock, this everything else, I would definitely be a member at Pine Canyon.
I mean, that was the first golf course I worked at. And like, obviously, because of that, it's always going to like kind of have a special place in my heart. But even if it didn't, it is such an incredible property.
Yep.
The course is beautiful.
But the club itself, like the membership is of, and now you can speak of this, but from what I see from the outside, it's on the elite level, right? But it also has other it has people that aren't so fixated on just like, I'm a club member. It's just, well, you give me this look, there are them. They're always going to be. But there's also members there that they just are like, yes, I've retired. I've got my kids, or I've got enough money. It's a great family place. I mean, they put a fucking sledding
soccer
hill.
Field. We blow, or we, I don't do it anymore.
Right.
I used to blow snow on hole 18 for a sledding hill.
Dumbest like, thing in the
rink.
World. But
oh my God.
But if I was a member,
I mean, if I had a kid, that's where we would be every day.
I'm not saying it's the greatest place to work and deal with all the bullshit. I'm saying
but
if I was a member.
It's an incredible place. I mean, they have a soccer field, a wiffle ball field. Like, they've got every amenity.
Which this
you can
is
think
a
of.
Kind of a challenge. I will take any motherfuckers on in that wiffle ball field. Anybody.
I mean, it's pretty sweet.
It's like, awesome.
Because I think it's kind of, they're trying to base it off of like Blue Jack kind of-ish. And I think they're about to build like this massive treehouse behind it from what I've heard. I don't know.
That's weird.
It's, yeah. They're moving kids camp down there. So during the summer, they have a whole camp and there's like 200 kids that run around all over the place and they have counselors and like, so that mom and dad.
Oh, that's right up my alley. That's what I went to school for.
Oh,
hey,
perfect.
Maybe I could do that. Honey, when you're done with nursing school, we're going to Flagstaff.
I'm
going
to Flag and I'm going to be the head of kids camp.
Exactly. And I'm going to be your camp counselor.
I mean, in Flagstaff, like,
so what?
Canyon,
tattoos. Who cares?
I mean,
get them.
Yeah. Not many, but not as many as you.
Yeah.
I mean, Pine Canyon, it's an awesome place, but like they have their fair share of wildlife issues too. I mean, Lee's trying to grow in two new greens and the elk keep trampling them, peeing all over him. He's always digging out holes of pee. Like,
and
I
they're
mean,
big. Yeah, like 3 foot diameter piss spots. Yep.
And then like they just trample everything, stomp around, they fight with each other. And he was like, it's barely germinated. Yeah. And they just tore it all apart. I'm like, look, I get it. Like, welcome to my life.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're not the only golf course that deals with wildlife. Yeah. And I think like people have really like honed in on, Seven Canyons, javelina. Like, okay, but what about everyone else that deals with javelina or wild pigs or skunks or elk or deer or whatever? Like,
there were, when I was, you guys were building the pen on 9, just behind there were two deer, mule deer.
Yeah, they chill.
But they were fighting. They were two males.
Oh,
just
in rut.
Yeah, they're in the rut. And so they were going after it. I wanted to tell Andy, grab that arrow.
That's like the least of our worries.
I know.
The deer, like, they're very respectful, as strange as that sounds. Like, they just kind of hang out. They might eat a little grass, but they're not like stomping the greens or anything like that. Like, we've had no problem with the deer. They are welcome to come
in.
It's the other guys that
it's
we
just,
don't want.
They don't do anything as far as being fighting. For being a predator to them. You guys need the red wolf back.
Well, I saw a bobcat. What day is today? Thursday? It must have been yesterday. Might have been Monday. I don't know. All the days become the same. One of the days in the last 48 hours, there was a bobcat right by where we're building that little corral. And I was just kind of looking at him, and he was just looking at me, and then he walked across the cart path, and I was like, all right, keep the javelina away.
Yeah, Bobcat's
not doing
enough.
A damn thing.
Nope, he's like, those are way bigger than a rabbit. Not fucking with them.
And they smell, and they have that little, like, oil sack on their back, and like, ugh.
They do smell. You smell them. I mean, I've been out mountain biking and been like, something's dead.
Ugh.
And then you come across it and you're like, no, they're all alive.
They're
and
all
they
living. They just
stink.
Smell terrible.
Yeah.
And they're just like kind of like, at first I was like, oh, they're kind of cute. They have like little pink noses. No.
I told you, as soon as they started digging up your fucking golf course, that changed.
Stupid beady eyes or little stupid ears. Like, no, I hate them. Like, I don't think they're cute at all. And I mean, I come within 3-4 feet of them every day. And I mean, they've charged me a few times. I just make a lot of noise and swing a shovel, but don't hit them because that's not allowed. But I mean, they're not afraid of me.
No.
I'm afraid of them, but.
Like we said earlier, they're fucking nasty animals. They're nasty. They need to be, at some point, not like stopped. It's not like they're taking over the world, but we need to change them from the fact that these things are in the big game category. Is ridiculous. And it's right from that, it's not a big game. It's the size of pigs are way bigger.
Yeah.
Even the biggest javelina is probably
50 pounds.
Yeah. They move, man. 35 miles an hour I have no idea what direction they're going in. Neither do they.
They fall all the time because they can't see. Like, if you just stop moving and you just stand there, they will walk right past you.
Yeah,
like,
the wind's blowing right. They have no idea. First time was with the woman that I had to get her out of the. They kind of corralled her. Second time was my boss walked. He's like, "Watch this," and I was like, "What are you doing?" Like, there's like 20 of them. He's like, "Yeah, the wind's at our back." He's like, "They'll never know I'm here." There was two of them looking right at him, up to 10 yards. And he's like, they have no fucking clue that I'm standing right here. And I was like, holy shit. Like, I'm like standing way back. Like, these fucking things are weird. He's like, no, they're the dumbest fucking animal going.
They're so dumb. Like, we've been like kind of herding them down 9 and 8 to like a little opening in the fence because I blocked off their one opening and now they keep standing around it so I can't unblock it because they just hang out right there trying to get out. And you'll be standing... like, from me to you, like, what's this, 8 feet?
Yeah.
And they'll, like, kind of walk out of the native and look around, and you're just standing there, and they look right at you, and they kind of look around, and they walk right past you, and you wait till there's, like, 10 of them, and then you start chasing them, and then they start running along the fence line, and then they find their way out. And they just don't care.
God, what a fucking nightmare.
So on that note, love that's how I got famous. Like, what a weird thing to go viral for. Some nasty pics.
Yeah, you got famous. And it was interesting.
Like, I mean, 33 million views on that video. Can you believe that? I had like 2,000 followers tops on Twitter at that point. And like people from North Carolina are messaging me, oh, I saw your golf course on the news. And like, yeah,
I don't know why. I heard it went to the like news.
Oh,
like,
yeah, it was on CNN, Fox, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal. Trying to think of all the ones I talked to. We talked to CNN in Scotland last week.
No fucking way.
This guy Jack reached out to us. I sent him a bunch of pictures and stuff. Yeah. Edmonton? That's a place, right?
And I don't know about Edmonton. I know Edinburgh.
No, that's it. That's the one.
Holy shit.
Geography is not my strength.
I know, but it's like were they all like the world is crashing?
Are so those people? I'll put on my tin hat.
Yep.
The Roman circus is Seven Canyons right now. We are the distraction for whatever else is going on. And they're just like, we'll just keep this pig video going. Like
that. Yep. Exactly.
So that's my take on it is that's more fun news to talk about than whatever else is going on in the world.
I can just see this, unfortunately, this Ken doll and the little Barbie going, oh, and check out what the destruction that's going on in this high-end private golf course. And oh, my fucking God. With that, before we leave, I had cracked open one more beer you bought. It was, have it. It's the
Circadian Rhythm.
Yeah, the Circadian Rhythm. I was like, that is fucking not how you say that, but that's how they said it. And it's, believe me, it's not how it's spelled. It's again, another Dan's favorite hazy IPA. Oh, 6.5, 30 IBUs.
That's a Fodor. So that is a small batch.
Well, Fodor nothing. It's a fucking first drive on 7 when you try to cut the corner and it doesn't cut the corner and you somehow squeak out the 7's a par 5, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And like somehow you squeak out a fucking par on it. That's this one.
Yeah, okay. That's not my favorite one.
No, it's they should stick to the other
honestly,
shit.
Honestly, I'd probably give that a bogey.
Fodor's a Fodor. Yeah, a
farter.
Yeah, a farter. Yeah, this is a farter. But anyways, if you're in the Flagstaff area, there is another one up there. I talk about it enough. Mother Road, Dark Spry Brewery. There's a couple others that I won't talk about because I think they stink. You'll figure them out when you get there. But if you're ever going up there or if you're ever passing through Sedona, get your way out by Bell Rock. Ride it. Hike it. It's the most amazing place in the world. There is a tucked away golf course that is pretty fucking awesome.
It's been torn up by pigs. You don't want to come here.
Yeah, you definitely won't. It is fucking pretty bad. Emily, thank you for letting me come up here and run my mouth. Barley,
Sorry for stealing your seat. His fucking paws over his face like, I've heard enough of your fucking stupid accent. Get the fuck out of here. Later. Stay pissed, everybody.